Our scripture passage for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Listen now for God's holy word. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowd from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon Peter. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. Today we have a story with a rather famous and familiar closing. Jesus performs a miracle with some of his potential disciples, Peter, James, and John, the miracle of the great catch of fish. And then he tells them that from now on they will be catching people. In our older translation, this famous line is given as, "I will make you fishers of men." Now, I'm 36 years old, and every year of my life, I've been a faithful worshiper at church. So for that reason, I've probably heard about 20 or 30 different sermons on this passage, and myself as a minister have already preached a handful as well. For that reason, when I saw that this passage was coming up on the calendar, I have to admit that part of me wondered what point of interest I could find in a scripture passage that seems so familiar and honestly so straightforward as well. But as I looked into this passage this week, by God's grace, I heard and I learned something new. Through this new perspective, I have heard anew God's message of grace and also God's message of challenge through this great story. By God's grace, I hope to share some of those messages with you as well this morning. This new thing that I learned has to do with the context for the themes of fishing, which we see all throughout this story in Luke chapter 5. The context of fishing is just saturated in this story. Jesus is by the Sea of Galilee. He gets into a fishing boat. He instructs his disciples, who are fishermen, to let down their fishing nets, and they catch a great catch of fish, and then Jesus tells Peter and James and John that they will be fishing for or catching people. This year, as I studied this passage to prepare for this sermon, for the first time in my life, I had the thought to look into the Old Testament to see what kinds of themes and ideas exist there in the Old Testament that relate to this idea of fishing. For whatever reason, the idea of looking in the Old Testament to see what the Old Testament had to say about fishing had never occurred to me until this year. It had never occurred to me before, but like many other stories in the Gospels, I know that knowing the context of the Old Testament can help us to see and to hear and to realize what Jesus was hoping to communicate through his words and his actions in his own time and in his ministry. Jesus said what he said and did what he did to an audience that was deeply formed and influenced by the world and the texts of the Old Testament. So this week I went poking around the Old Testament to see what the Old Testament had to say about fishing. And what I found was somewhat unexpected. The best example of what I found is shown through the prophet Habakkuk. Crazy, right? Can I see a show of hands? How many of you are just sort of casually reading the prophet Habakkuk this week or recently? Anybody reading Habakkuk? No, we don't usually turn to that to that tiny little book of prophecy in the Old Testament. But the prophet Habakkuk gives us a perfect example of what we find in the Old Testament when we go looking for the answer of the question, what does the Old Testament have to say about fishing? Habakkuk lived in a time when the armies of the great and terrible empire of Babylon were closing in on God's people in the land of Israel. The armies of Babylon were incredibly strong and skillful in what they did. And in this prophetic book, Habakkuk is calling out to God with a plea for protection against this imposing army that is on its way to invade Israel, right? God's people. Habakkuk reaches out to God to say, the enemy is coming, the enemy is on its way. And Habakkuk points out to God that the armies of Babylon are terrible, that they're conquering village after village, town after town, city after city, and nation after nation. They're conquering all of these lands and plundering out of them the land, out of the lands, the wealth and the people from everything that they're conquering. They are taking that plunder and they're dragging it back with them to Babylon. In this passage from Habakkuk, the metaphor that he uses to describe this terrible work of their enemy is the metaphor of fishing. In Habakkuk's telling, Babylon's army is like an army of fishermen. Like fishermen go and plunder the sea of its fish by casting their nets into the sea and pulling the fish up. So Habakkuk explains that the armies of Babylon are plundering the nations of the world. They're going to every town, like each town is its own sea, and they're casting their nets over that town and pulling out all of the plunder, the people and the resources of those areas. They're doing this to towns and villages and cities as the nation of Babylon makes their empire expand, conquering nation after nation. And Habakkuk calls out to God. Habakkuk calls out to a God who seems to be absent and silent in the face of this imposing enemy. And Habakkuk says, you have made the people like fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. The enemy brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his fishing net. So he rejoices and exults. People of God, this is the new thing that I learned this week. When it comes to the ideas of fishing, when it comes to the vocabulary of fishing, the verb used for fishing, the vocabulary of nets and hooks, over and over again in the Old Testament, the themes and the ideas that are related to fishing are used in the Old Testament almost exclusively to talk about conquest, to talk about conquering armies and the terrible work of enemy soldiers coming in to plunder and to take captive their enemies and to drag them off into captivity. When you look up the word net in the Old Testament, over and over again, nets are used in real and metaphoric ways to refer to the work of armies coming to ensnare, to trip up, to capture, and to plunder God's people from where they truly belong. And when you look up the verb used in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus says to Peter, I will make you a fisher of men, when he says you will be catching people, that verb in the Old Testament, 100% of the time when it's used, is used to talk about capturing alive people. It's used to talk about an army going into a place, conquering it, and capturing alive the people who live there. This word can be translated as fishing. In some contexts, that's how that word was used. But in the Old Testament, this word is used exclusively to talk about conquest, capturing people alive. This reality that fishing and conquering armies are so closely associated in the Old Testament, for me, this sheds a completely new light on the story of Jesus' miracle of the abundant catch and his calling to the disciples to follow him and become fishers of men. In the Gospel of Luke, one of the aspects of Jesus' work is the idea that Jesus has come into the world, that Jesus has been sent into the world and empowered by God to set the captives free, to set the captives free. When Jesus begins his ministry in the synagogue in Nazareth in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus reads a passage from the prophet Isaiah, a prophet who, like Habakkuk, had seen God's people captured in the nets of their enemies. and dragged off from where they belong and into captivity. Like fish being plundered from the sea, Isaiah and Habakkuk had seen God's people plundered from where they belong. And Isaiah, inspired by God's grace, had promised that one day God would send a redeemer who would come to rescue and to free God's people from that captivity. Through Isaiah, God promised that God's word, God's light, God's salvation would spread out and reach all places, all the places where God's people had been plundered and carried away. God's word would reach across the land and across the seas, and by God's power and grace, God would bring the captive people home again. God would rescue them, redeem them, and gather them back to where they belonged. By Jesus' day, God's people had a sense that they had been captured and held captive in many ways and by many types of enemies. Spiritually, God's people sensed that they had been captured by spiritual enemies. Their broken and sinful hearts, their broken and sinful human natures held them captive to wickedness. And the people believed that Satan and the forces of evil held them captive to temptation and troubles of all kinds. And then there was despair and hopelessness and doubt and fear. All of these things were holding God's people captive. And so in Jesus' day, God's people yearned for a redeemer, yearned for someone who would come to help set them free so that they could again dwell in the kingdom of God's light and love. But they felt that they had been netted and captured and plundered by the forces of evil instead in sin instead of dwelling in God's kingdom. They were dwelling in the kingdoms of darkness and death. And so by Jesus' time, God's people yearned to be freed, to be rescued from the nets of their enemies. When Jesus stood in the synagogue in Nazareth and proclaimed that he had come to set the captives free, this is what came to mind, that Jesus had come to redeem God's people who had become like the fish of the sea, according to Habakkuk, netted and plundered from their rightful places. God's people were in need to be captured by God, captured by God's nets, captured and rescued from the hands of their enemies so that they could return to the shores of God's kingdom of light and love, the kingdom where God's people truly belong. This, my friends, is the context for our story in Luke chapter 5, where we see Jesus performing this miracle of the abundant catch of fish, when Peter's nets are filled to overflowing with fish, and then in the light of that abundant catch, Jesus tells Peter that he would join Jesus in the work of fishing for people, the work of capturing people alive, the work of bringing God's kingdom, the people of God's kingdom, out of despair, out of the kingdoms of darkness, and to return God's people to the kingdom of God's light and God's love. This is the context that makes Jesus' words meaningful and important here in Luke chapter 5. People of God, God this morning reminds us of God's grace and God's love through this story and through this context from the Old Testament. This week, as I've been reading this passage and reflecting on it and understanding anew this context of the Old Testament, I've heard God reminding me, and I hope God's reminding you of this morning as well, that God is powerful to redeem us. God is powerful to gather us back into God's family. There are times, perhaps in our lives, when we have felt that we have been captured by the enemies of sin, captured by the enemies of evil, captured by the enemies of despair and hopelessness. But God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world to set the captives free. God has sent Jesus into this world to throw the net of God's grace over us, and to bring us out of the grips of our enemies and to put us squarely on the shores of God's kingdom of light and love. Jesus came and he faced all of the enemies that we might face in our lives, and he established victory for us. And so Jesus went into the kingdoms of evil and sin and darkness and death, and Jesus captured us back for God. Jesus has given us security, and we can know with assurance that we are in God's kingdom and that there is no power, no enemy in this world or in any world, in the heavens or in the earth, stronger or more powerful than the God who has captured us and returned us back to the kingdom of light and love through Jesus Christ. God also, I think, instructs us into what it means for us to be fishers of men through this context from the Old Testament. I think quite often when we think about fishing, we think about the kind of fishing that we do here in North America. I have great memories of being a kid growing up and fishing in my grandparents' cottage at the lake there. And the kind of fishing that we do is a kind of fishing that's a lot of baiting and waiting, right? We bait a hook, we cast it out into the lake, and then we wait. We wait and we wait. We wait for a fish to come along and to take the bait, and then we can reel them in and, you know, we have a fish, right? That's what we think about when we think about fishing. And so when we hear Jesus telling us that we are supposed to be fishers of men at church, oftentimes what we think is that our role is to have good bait, you know, make a good church service, have a nice church building, have good programs. We have to get the bait right. We're just supposed to wait. We're just supposed to wait and wait and wait. And our hope is that people will come and take the bait and join us at church. But if you look at the context of Jesus' words in Luke chapter 5, when he tells Peter that you will be a fisher of men, Jesus isn't calling Peter to that kind of passive waiting work. He's calling Peter and the disciples to go out into a world where people have been captured by the forces of evil, and Jesus is calling them and empowering them and giving them the gifts necessary so that Peter and the other disciples and the church can go out and to help free people from the captivity that is holding them captive. It isn't baiting and waiting. It's going out and bringing people liberation. It's going out and helping to free people from those things that hold them back. It is going out into the world and finding people who don't yet know that they truly belong in the kingdom of God's grace, and helping to throw the net of God's grace around them and to gather them into God's home. And so, people of God, I think this story is full of grace and full of God's message for us this morning, to remind us that God has rescued us, and also to encourage us to be active, fishers in the work of going out and rescuing others as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.